You got to get one of those things.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest, man. I always get like, I always get super nervous right before we film. Don't even matter.
Well, I mean, I mean, I guess that worry keeps you doing it right, right? Do you make a sound clap? Is that what it is?
Sometimes, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is Eddie going to be impressed that I knew that? Like a sound
He
clap?
was the first time I did it.
Oh, okay.
He was like, "Oh, yeah, check
That
this
was
shit
not, yeah, that
out."
was unofficial.
Yeah, because you have to sync everything up. Welcome everyone to another edition of The Marvel of Horror, where we discuss all things past, present, and future as they pertain to the horror genre. I'm your host, your friend, fellow horror enthusiast, Bruce Marvel, and today is very special. Someone I've been wanting to get on the show for a long time. You've heard me reference him. You've heard some of the stories. He's a man of many talents. He is Jay the Badman Marvel. Jay Bernard, welcome to the show. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
What was your first introduction to the horror genre?
You know, it's funny watching the other episodes and everyone gets that question. And it's just like, I'm like, wait till I get that question. And yeah, Bruce, obviously you already know. But technically, me and Eric, my older brother, our first horror movie ever was, you really got to go back in time and really put yourself in the moment. The movie Terminator on Silent.
Yes, we no one tells a story better than you.
I was trying to do the math the other night to see how old I was, because like me and Eric always ask each other, it was like, did we go to mom and dad and say, I want to watch Terminator? Because there's no way we could have even known what the heck it
No.
was. I was thinking about this last night though, and the only thing I was thinking is we had to have known Arnold Schwarzenegger as Hercules,
Yeah.
the destroyer or whatever. I don't know what year that came out. And so, like, his face was just the cover. So we were like, hey,
Hey, we know this guy.
let's watch Hercules 3
Yeah,
on
yeah.
mute.
Like even us, like we knew Arnold was already like a pop culture icon
Right.
before like Terminator. Terminator was just like the thing to send him over. And like I said, I was way younger.
Or
I'm
did
four.
dad just want to watch the movie?
I
And
think mom and dad
they heard the F
just,
word was in it, so they had to
yeah.
mute the whole thing.
I think we were at the age, all of us, even you guys, because I'm 5 years younger than you, 6 years younger than Eric, the oldest, who got to get him on the show too. So I can only imagine how old I was. But yeah, mom and dad were probably at that stage in their life where it's like, okay, we got three boys who are small. We're never going to be able to watch all these movies people are talking about. Everybody's talking about Terminator. It was like a phenomenon that year.
Yeah, and like I said, I was what, maybe 6, 7 years old,
You were
whatever.
probably seven.
Seven.
Because I
And
had to be, yeah, because like I said, I was super small, but I was old enough to remember when this happened.
yeah, so if you go back to a time where no Terminator ever existed, there's like 12 of them now, there's no Terminator ever existed. Movie starts, no sound, mutes, you know what's going on. First, you're like, why is the guy naked? Right, and then he just starts murdering
He just
people.
starts cold blood murder, like, yo, what is up with
And
Hercules?
as a kid, you're like, yeah, you're like, all right, I'm just watching this movie where this guy murders people. It's a murder movie.
And I'm pretty sure the first guy, like that, so he kills like the three punks, like it's a straight up like Mortal Kombat rips his heart out, like kill.
But it's Arnold, so
It's
you're
Arnold.
just like, well, he did it back in the day as Hercules. Yeah, I mean, he knocked out the camel.
Yeah, he's Conan. He's a
It's
good
Conan,
guy.
yeah.
What's he doing?
And that's another thing. He's
He's a
supposed to be a good guy. Why is he
hero.
killing everybody? Like, the girl in the nightclub, she must have did something wrong. So then, really weird scene is, you know, when he's cleaning the eyeball out. And then you're just like, what the hell's going on here? And then, you know, he turns into a maniac killer robot.
Like I said, we watched this whole movie on mute. You know what I mean? And we had to close our eyes during the sex scene. But other than that, it's like, and we make the joke like 80s was such a different time. It was like they didn't care whether you were just watching like hardcore murder. It was like, okay, no
Yeah.
cussing, no nudity.
Whole police department got shot up.
Yeah, oh yeah. And the end of the movie is just like, okay, man, he's dead. And then here comes like this creepy stop animation, like skeletal robot. It was like, oh my God.
Well, you could couldn't stop him as a human. You definitely ain't stopping him now.
Oh, but it was terrifying looking.
Terrifying.
Like, you didn't even see that part. Terrifying. Like, you didn't see the endoskeletons until, like, that part of the movie. Like, even with the eye, like, you could tell he was something not human, but the eye scene, yeah. It was like, man, to see that. Plus, like I said, stop animation, even though that was, like, the bar of excellence then, was still weird looking.
And without the sound, to not know the movie had anything to do with time travel.
Yeah. You couldn't, yeah.
I don't know why he's trying to kill him. So, but my
it
real...
It was only until Terminator 2 came out that we figure out what the hell's going on.
Well, yeah, we were allowed to watch that one. So we like put it together. They had to go back and watch the original Terminator and realize how good of a movie it was.
Yeah. Like, it's still a great movie.
But my first real horror movie is we snuck next door to see...
Sammy's House?
Sammy's House. Nightmare on Elm Street. The first Nightmare on Elm Street.
I remember.
But then again, I was thinking too, like Jaws. I probably saw Jaws before Nightmare on Elm Street. So Jaws was technically probably my first horror movie.
So we know the effect Jaws had on Eric. I mean...
I don't think he's ever been the same since.
No.
No.
I can't. That's... When and if he comes on, that's the movie he's got to do. He's got to do Jaws.
It's got to be all about Jaws.
You got to do Jaws, man. His whole life changed. I mean, he still to this day loves Great White Sharks, loves that movie.
Well, even when we were starting to talk earlier, I wonder how many people's lives changed from this movie here.
Oh, we're going to get into that. We know your guys' lives changed.
Oh, my God. Like,
we know your guys' lives changed while we're here.
Like even watching it the other day, it's like, if you grew up in those exact years of the 80s and then you watched the movie again, like for me, it holds up great in time because it took me right back.
Yeah.
The kids, I looked for it and I was going to bring it. The kids holding a toy in the movie that I still have.
You should have brought that toy.
The Yoda. Yeah, the Yoda. I have the Yoda puppet.
Poltergeist, the 1982 classic. I have here. I don't have a lot of Poltergeist swag.
What, wasn't there much?
I don't think there was.
Poltergeist swag.
Yeah. I should have got...
there's like a million Wolfmen and Frankenstein. Yeah. Where's the little girl statue in front of the TV?
There's no 1980 television sets.
Yeah, it still turns
it's
on.
It's not in the budget for the show. Our yearly budget is like negative $100.
We're still paying Comcast for the past 20 years for analog. It's the last.
Yeah.
I watched it Friday night.
I watched it last night in preparation for this. Now, I'm not...
I'm not a horror guy. I'm not a horror guy.
You're not a horror
people
guy.
Out there, I'm not a horror guy. I'm much better off watching reruns of Seinfeld, possibly Dumb and Dumber for the 1 billionth time. That's my whole thing.
I don't know how I became the horror guy.
Oh, I don't either.
Out of the three of us.
Like, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder even how you guys can become horror guys at all. Oh, even Matt, the first episode, Matt, he's like, yeah, you know, I watched Nosferatu to go to bed at night. I'm like, oh, my God. What?
Yeah, 1922.
Yeah, like, wow.
German expressionistic film.
Yeah.
What?
What's the one Johnny Depp did, like, in this century?
I don't know why seeing Frankenstein's monster when I was a kid just made me the way I am, but I don't know why. But I don't know why, I just went so deep.
Very deep. You know, very deep.
You guys don't even really like horror movies.
No, not really.
Grew up in the time. You grew up in the era where some of the best horror movies even came out, which is really funny.
Well, yeah, like I said, I mean, we snuck out. It was the original Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
I mean, we were... alive and watching TV and staying up all night with Elvira with all the, you know, Friday the 13th and the original Halloweens and all that stuff.
All the good stuff. I mean, like I said, even you guys, like, you guys were teenagers in the late 80s, right?
Yeah, I was in high school 90 to 94, so, yeah.
Could have seen, you were at a time you could have seen, like, a lot of that stuff in the theater.
So our mom had a hatred towards anything... Exorcist.
Yes.
So at some point, I don't know. Do you know when The Exorcist 3 came out? It's probably the one that came out while I was in high school.
I believe, I don't know the exact year, but I want to say like The Exorcist 3 was like, I don't know, it might have been like 1990 or 91.
Okay, so here's the story. So 1991 or whenever it came out, So that you would get the 55 hours and it would have all the movies listed and the times before cell phones and stuff. Sound like the old guy. You had to actually look it up and see what time it played. And so, and I remember this memory just like it was yesterday. So I'm sitting at the kitchen table over there in Scott Street, and you know, mom's doing her thing in the kitchen, and I'm, you know, reading through all the things, and just looking for a movie. Now, I would never go see horror movies. It's not my thing. So I'm like, yeah, what's this one? William Peter Black. Don't say it. Don't even talk about it. I'm like, what? Like, don't even say it in the kitchen. And I'm like, The Exorcist. Don't say it. And now, you know, I can see I'm getting under my mom's skin. I'm like, well, let me read the review. And I'm like, the tale of this? What? I don't even know. I hated horror movies that day. And then she was like, freaking out. You couldn't say the word exorcist in the kitchen. And I'm like, and just like anything that, you know, your parents tell you can't do something, then it sparks the interest. I'm like, what the hell is this exorcist? And it's like the third one they made.
Yeah.
What were the first two about? You probably already seen it. Your little kid probably already seen it. And I'm like reading the review in the kitchen. She's getting like so mad. Like, we weren't allowed to watch Howard the Duck either.
Oh, yeah. Mom's grip on like not wanting The Exorcist to be like
anywhere. It was church thing because it was a church
thing. It was church thing and all that stuff. But it was like, I think the first time I actually watched The Exorcist was in, man, I was really late to the party.
I was an adult.
Yeah, I was.
I don't think I've ever seen The Exorcist 3, the one I was reading the review for.
The Exorcist 3, which is a movie I'd love to do like a full episode on. I like it because it's kind of, it's very, like, anymore when you see like an Exorcist movie, it's always like the same thing. There's always some point where they look demonic and they're doing the spider walk and they're speaking. Like, it's getting to the point where you've seen one, you've seen them all.
Well, yeah. I mean, it is kind of true, though.
And it's been like that for a long time when you really look at Exorcist movies from The Exorcist to present day, to me anyway. But, like, The Exorcist 3 was different. The Exorcist 3 actually had, like, a different take on it, which I think, you know, without giving anything in the movie away, like, you actually...
Well, no spoilers, but it did come out, what, was it 30, 40 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
I'm saying for you, if you want to watch it.
Oh, no. I mean, no spoilers. Like, if you start talking about it, I may have seen it.
It's a very underrated, like, intellectual movie to me. Okay. It's really good, though.
As much as I'm not into horror movies, I mean, I have seen
It's probably got one of the most infamous jump scares of any horror movie ever made. Speaking of mom and hatred towards things, because of this movie...
We're not allowed to talk about The Exorcist in the kitchen.
But you're allowed to watch Poltergeist.
Let's get started. We were about 6 years old when they put this on for us.
And Poltergeist was rated PG, by the way.
I don't know how.
Tell us why you haven't seen this movie.
Well, first, like, I literally felt some, like, anxiousness, some anxiety leading into getting ready to watch the movie.
And real quick, not to cut you off.
Go ahead.
Our oldest brother still won't watch this movie.
Yeah, we talked about this morning, and I was like...
He still will not watch it.
I didn't even know if it was a point to not watch it, or if it just... Because to me, it's like, I had no desire.
He's made it a point not to watch it.
I was pleasantly surprised about how great of a movie this is.
Oh, it's a great movie.
Great movie, right. Now, the two scenes that were giving me some sort of animosity about watching, if I use that word correctly, was the steak scene and the face ripoff scene.
Yes.
Right. Now thinking about those two scenes made me completely forget about the tree eating the kids scene, which when that happened the other night, I was like, oh my God, I forgot all about this scene altogether. And it's pretty horrifying.
So there's a lot of stuff. So going back, because like I said, I watched it last night, even though I had seen it, I wanted to do like a refresher. There's a lot of scenes in this movie that like really kind of take me by surprise.
Yeah.
Especially with the PG thing. One of them was, again, spoiler alert.
I'm wondering if you're going to say the same thing. If you're going to say the same thing, I'm going to say.
It's only been out since 1982.
Yeah.
And
if you're going to check it out, don't accidentally watch. What year did they make a remake of this? There was
2015.
Don't
it's
watch
not good.
That one.
Sam Rockwell, I love you, buddy, as an actor. You tried to save that movie, but you couldn't.
if you're gonna watch this, go to find the 1982.
Yes.
Do not watch.
The scene that I think is really like disturbing to me.
Okay.
For one, if I got my daughter back, I wouldn't put her anywhere near the room.
You're going too far ahead.
Okay.
Jump back a minute, because I was going to say one thing I completely forgot about, didn't even realize when I was a kid.
Was the mom smoking weed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're rolling a joint bed. And Craig T. Nelson's got weed all over the bed. And then he's jumping on the bed. I'm like, did it? You got weed all over the bed. And funny, little side note, the kid comes in, right? And I'm thinking she's going to go, oh, my God. And she goes, oh. And then she hits it one more time before she puts it out. I'm like, 80s.
Look. This is the first time I've watched this movie now being a parent. It had a different effect on me.
Hold on. Before we even get there. Okay, first. Movie starts, right? I'm like, oh, Steven Spielberg. Completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Steven Spielberg.
And the very heartfelt, like, music. Like, it's like Jerry Goldsmith is the guy. He did a lot of famous, like, composings for movies, but he always worked with Steven Spielberg, like Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's like this music that's like, oh, this is going to be like a family movie. Yeah.
And then, so then down the street comes, and like, and I know Steven Spielberg, and they always do the Easter eggs, like the little hidden gems. Okay, beginning of the movie, is this a hidden gem? The guy from Midnight Madness has got a case of beer, and he's in green sweatpants. Is that the meat machine? Is that a meat machine reference?
It might be.
And then they knock him off, and he's like, I'm like, no, I completely forgot about this. And I'm like, and he's even on a bike from E.T. He's got a hutch.
Yep.
And I'm like, now, does Steven Spielberg have any link to Midnight Madness?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and check.
Is that a Steven Spielberg thing?
I'm it like, might be.
Because he's got all kinds. In that movie, he's got, like you said, he's hugging. They got the Star Wars sheets. He's got the Yoda.
The Star Wars sheets. I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to bring that up because we had those exact sheets.
There was a lot in this movie.
You guys had a lot of
Thank God we didn't have that clown. We didn't have that.
I'll get into that, but that I recently saw online, like someone was auctioning that clown off.
That clown. Okay.
I forget how many thousands of dollars it went for, but that's like
from the actual movie?
I believe it was from the actual movie.
Okay.
So
yeah, I definitely wouldn't want that.
Oh yeah. No, I'd be way too scared to have it. Even if somebody wanted to give it to me, I'd be like, eh.
But that is funny that we bring that up, because that is one of the scenes. Because like you said, like you watch that movie and it happens in the 1980s, and we grew up in the 1980s. And when he's seeing that clown in with just a little bit of light, and that's what's scaring him. Like I remember what scared me in my room.
Yeah,
it was freaking C-3PO.
Yeah,
like. Anything with eyes in the dark can be scary. You're like, C-3PO, he's a nerdy. He's even nerdy as a robot.
Yeah.
And they turn them lights out and you see a little shine there.
There was so many things.
That alarm clock.
One thing, like I said, it was so much like taking this movie in and kind of watching it, not what like a fresh pair of eyes, but like watching it to really look out for more things. I was like, oh, okay, a brother and a sister sharing their room. That's kind of weird. I don't know. Was that a thing in the 80s?
Nah, they were young, though. I mean, no, that's pretty normal. Because Carol Ann was, what, 5?
I guess,
so he only was probably, like, 6, 7. So, no, that would be completely normal. Yeah. So,
but that, like, that's just
now, the unnormal part, like you were saying earlier, is, like, if that's where they got taken by the ghost, to put them right back in the bedroom for one more night.
Yeah, that's one thing. It's like, they put them right back. It's like, okay, we got you back. The house is clean.
I don't even think I'd let go. I'm like,
I don't know.
I'm getting a shower. You're staying in here with me, and you just... stay in the bathroom.
If they really had to stay in that room, you would have seen me like with boards and shit.
Yeah.
I would have cemented the fucking closet. So there's no way to enter.
Well, it's funny too, not to jump around, but like they get the kid back and she goes, oh, this house is clean. They wrap everything off and roll. Like, hey, why not leave one camera?
Yeah.
No, it's done. I'm that much of a professional. Stay the night. I know it's done.
Stay the night just to be sure, please, with all the activity you've seen. Yeah. Maybe not just, you know.
But I'll tell you what, even leaning into the movie, I was like, man, why would they stay? They weren't even going to stay that night. That was them. Like, he ran to work. And of course, I still wouldn't even do that. But I mean, I had to make her a good movie. But like, yeah, as soon as I got my kid, I wouldn't even take her upstairs and wash her off the bathtub. No, we'll do that to my towel. I'm out the front door.
Talking about like the Easter eggs real quick, going back to that.
Yes.
Like, I forget what state E.T. took place in, but I know Poltergeist was California, and it looked like the same exact neighborhood. I mean, it was like,
yeah, when he takes him up to look at the whole town, he's like, this could be, it basically like was the E.T. neighborhood.
This movie was so 1980-like, like, I loved it. I loved every minute of it. Like, this guy, Craig T. Nelson, the father, that was the American dream. Like, he had it. Like, you had this nice suburban neighborhood, nice house, suburban neighborhood. You had one person was working. You had three kids. It didn't matter. You were doing really good. You had the station wagon car. It was four minivans.
Yeah.
And, like, even the even when they get caught in their fort, like they're smoking weed, they're hanging out, like in their bed. It's like I said, I was totally watching this movie as a new parent.
It's funny.
It's funny.
It's funny.
Like, you go. This is how this is your life now.
You watch it as a kid, and you're like, hi. And you watch it as an adult, and you're like, oh, that is a nice staircase. This guy's doing really well. They're talking about digging a pool.
They're digging a pool.
He's digging a pool.
He's reading, but he's reading the book, Reagan, the man.
Yeah.
I'm like, there he is, man. Because look at this guy. He's like, Reaganomics. I love it.
That scene, I felt the same way in that scene. You're like, you know, before the shit goes down, you're like, man, life is good.
Life is good. Life is really. Look at this guy.
He's digging his own pole.
He's digging
his own pole.
You know,
that may have been what started
the whole thing.
Digging that pole.
Yeah.
I wondered too, like, looking back, not to cut you off, was it burying the bird? Because they made it, like, back in the 80s, they making it a point to show you the box is getting dug up when they're digging the pool.
Yeah, that's it. Like, that's basically like a
was it
bird in the box.
Bird?
And getting overturned in that scene. It's basically like, hey,
that was the start of it.
That was the start of it. That's the, what's the Hollywood term they call that? Like, foreshadowing.
Yes.
That was the foreshadowing.
Yes.
Of, like, why that place is being haunted and why they can't rest. But then again, there's a Satan reference in that movie.
Yeah. Yes.
Carol Ann, when she gets taken to the other side, it's like, okay, she thinks it's a child talking to her, but you know him as the Beast.
Right.
Why are they targeting Carol Ann? Why do the spirits think like Carol Ann's like life force is so special? And why do they target Carol Ann? Well, I don't know, but what made me think is why, like, a little, you know, like I said, it could be nothing, but it's like a little hint I thought they'd kind of drop for you. It's when they're walking up the hill, because, you know, the guy he works for thinks he's like kind of, he hasn't been going to work.
What's
going on.
Yeah, he's asking him the questions.
He's asking him questions. He's like, all right, you know, I should have made you a partner. You've sold over half these houses. You're making us a lot of money. We don't want you to leave.
Right.
When he's talking, he's like, yeah, so your daughter was born in that house. Yeah, Carol Ann. But when I said, I wonder if that's why, because was she born in the house or she was born when he had the house? Like, is that something like, okay, because she was born when they had that house? Like, so to that, okay, so like, no, you know what I mean? I thought maybe that was kind of something.
Do we have to watch Poltergeist 2?
Dude, Poltergeist. So it's funny, you guys.
And there is a Poltergeist 3, correct?
There is Poltergeist
3. That's with the old man.
Yeah, Tom Skerritt. Yeah, when they introduced that old man guy, you're all gonna die. Let me in. I'm like, I ain't fucking letting you in, you fucking psycho. you're weird. Let you in my house. Hey, Tom. But yeah, he talks like the Family Guy pervert.
That's probably where they got the voice.
It might be, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind
of creepy. Now they introduce him in the second movie, and he's creepy, and it's, oh, man.
Oh, they do introduce him in the second one?
They do.
Okay. Yeah, I'd have to go back and watch the second one.
The second Poltergeist movie.
I'm trying to remember what even the third one was. But
They're in the building, the skyscraper. Tom Skerritt's in it.
Okay. Yeah,
it's
really
bad.
It's terrible.
Really bad.
Yeah, it is bad.
But Poltergeist 2 is the movie mom and dad let me watch probably way too early.
Okay.
And it scared the shit out of me. So it's funny.
Oh,
You
did it?
guys got Porter. You and Eric got Poltergeist. Poltergeist 2 is the movie that got me. I can still see him drinking that worm and it being that monster.
Oh, yeah. The worm. Okay, that was part two.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was probably the highlight of the whole movie there when he drank the worm.
There was a lot. I mean, there was a lot of stuff. There was like the ending's almost kind of the same when they're kind of getting like when they're running out of the house. Because like I just remember they're trying to get out of the house and like a chainsaw's like chasing them and stuff. I think they even still got a station
I'll
wagon.
tell you, that was another thing about the movie. I had to explain to, if anyone else is going to watch it, you have to explain to the younger people that back in the day, you didn't really get to choose what you wanted to watch on TV. You only got like 13 channels, and you had to pick one of them. And probably half of them were just trash. And then every night at probably about in the movie, they depicted it as like 2:30 in the morning. They play the national anthem,
And then it cuts to snow.
and there'd be no TV until the next morning. And they came back on. And yeah, I had to explain to Nolly, but she kind of knew. She knew when I was before we were getting one of my daughters. It's like, yeah, back in the day, the TV used to just cut off. You had
You
to
know, you
wait
know
till the
what?
next morning to watch TV.
And if I sound like I'm too old or I'm too like, hey, get off my
Yeah.
lawn kind of guy, I'm like, I kind of wish they'd
Yeah.
bring that back.
Well, that's impossible.
They
Yeah.
won't, but
But
I just
yeah, I
kind of
mean,
wish they
yeah.
would. I wish they're
They
like,
would have to go, hey, from now on, every night at 3:00 in the morning, we're shutting your phone off.
yeah, but at least not like
Yeah.
on Netflix or Amazon or something. They'd be like, hey, look,
You'd see a fiercer kickback than Prohibition.
yeah, get some sleep. Durr, whoa, you better drop my fucking price a month, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I pay
both.
$300 a month and you're shutting it off.
I want to watch Orange is the New Black at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
Don't tell me how to live.
Like 3,000 shows I'm not gonna watch. Let's get back to the beginning. Back to the beginning. So yeah, Steven Spielberg. I'm like, oh, awesome. I'm already seeing the Easter eggs and and it's cool, like you said, you see Craig T. Nelson. Her mom always kind of depicted Craig T. Nelson as a jerk in the movie. And even going watching this again as an adult, I'm like, let me see how much of a jerk Craig T. Nelson is. And no, she had it wrong.
No, he's not that bad. He's actually like a really good
He's
dad.
a
He
good
just,
dad, yeah.
but our mother hated Craig T. Nelson
Because he drops the rope.
because he drops the
Drops
rope.
the rope.
It didn't matter what movie he
Drops the
did in the
rope.
next 20 years, he was
Yeah.
always that guy who dropped that rope in the
I don't think
movie.
she ever wanted Minnesota University to win a championship while he was coach.
Yeah,
Coach
because of the rope.
Heffern's coach.
He was always the
Shout out to
guy.
Dauber.
He was always the guy who dropped the
Hope that
rope.
guy didn't like do something weird in his career, and I gave a shout out to like a child molester or Just trying to be funny.
You're fine.
Dauber.
Fix this in editing.
Edit. Clip. Sound clip.
When you become a dad, hate to sound like that guy, but
Oh no! Totally different movie.
when you become a dad, it's a totally different movie, and it
Totally
hits you
different
way
movie.
different. And like
Yeah.
one thing about this movie, and you said it still holds up. It really still holds
Oh, it really
up.
does. Yeah, I think so.
It does because the acting is so good.
Yeah, the woman that does she ever do anything else? Because
I don't
she was
know. I'm sure she
really good
has,
in
but
that
she was
movie.
fantastic. I can't think
Yeah.
of the actress's name right offhand, but and now so that was one of the scenes, like real quick since we're on it, that was one of the scenes that I kind of forgot about that I thought was the most disturbing. Like when the beast is getting ready to make a second go
Yeah.
via through the closet,
Yeah.
it attacks her first, and it was almost kind of like sexual in nature. It seemed like she was getting
Yeah,
attacked.
yeah.
It's like, okay, this is a PG movie.
Yeah, you
This is
wonder if there's
kind of this
a like
is
a deleted scene or something that got cut to keep it PG because like you said, that was
yeah, like a shirt coming up and just her
yeah.
underwear, and it's like, and they could have made it. I think they did just enough to make like your imagination kind of twist it and make it even more cruel than
Yeah.
it was. But it's still like a hard scene to watch when you're older and you know, like, oh man, that's
And
wow.
that's another scene that changes because when you're a kid, you're like, oh, man, he's up on the ceiling, floating around her underwear. As an adult, you're like, isn't she getting raped by a ghost?
Yeah, oh yeah. That's what I mean.
What's really going on here?
Like, yeah, I'm like, yo, this ain't cool. It's yeah. No. That's one of the scenes that really stood out to me. And I was like, oh wow, I forgot about that. That's like, that's really fucked up.
And back to the dropping the rope part too, just to like get back to, I was watching the movie and I'm like, like I said, let me see how much of a jerk Craig T. Nelson is. And I'm like, the whole movie, I'm like, yeah, he's a pretty good dude. And I'm like, well, let me really watch this scene, see when he drops this rope, see if it's one of these, like, hidden, dizzy, drop the rope first. And there's a big skeleton face, like, comes out.
Yeah, and it kind of gets pulled out of his hands.
Well, he's like, you know what I mean? But then again, like, as soon as he lets go, they fall. And they're saved. I'm like, all right, well, you know, it worked out. How big of a jerk is he? Like, they're not going to go back and go, hey, why'd you let go of the rope? I was like, well, you came out, didn't you? That's how you came out, but you let go of the rope.
What is that? It's like, it's not like I got tired. Like, some demon attacked me.
Yeah, big demon face. Of course, I think Armand was the only one that ever brought that up.
Yes.
Okay. I don't think it was one of these topics in the movie world. I think he really seemed to care for his family.
I think for some reason, Mom already had it out for Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah, I wonder what it is. Was he in something else? Yeah, in something else?
I don't know. I don't know. Was Mom not a Reagan?
You made her hair go gray.
Was Mom not that rope? Was Mom not a Reagan fan and just saw him reading that book? I was like,
maybe that was it. Yeah,
Because there were some people in the '80s who did not like care for Reagan.
Maybe she pissed that he couldn't roll the joint. Did he couldn't roll the joint? Like, he gives it to the woman and she rolls the joint.
You know, maybe that was it. Look at these potties.
And he got weed all over the bed.
Yeah. Maybe that's why he dropped.
Because
he
kind of
maybe that's why he dropped the rope, because he was high.
He was hot. Well, she was high. I don't even think she never even passed it to him.
Yeah, you're right.
She's barking. I was like, oh.
You just assumed he was high because he was doing the
because he's Craig T. Nelson.
He was doing the diver shit, being funny. You just assumed he had already smoked.
So the tree. I forgot about the tree scene.
I forgot about the tree scene because
I was so. I was sitting there waiting for the steak scene to come up and the face scene to come up. You know, spoiler alerts. Forgot about the tree scene. And
tree scene.
Yeah, so literally tree reaches in kid's window, grabs the kid, and starts eating the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when Caroline gets taken.
Yeah, that was like the sleight of hand.
Yeah.
They use that to, you know, which is, you know, great idea. Just divide and conquer. But you know what? So I watched that, watching it. They take a real super tumble getting out of that tree. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, so, he's that kid. Him and the kid are.
Yeah. So Craig T. Nelson, spoiler, Craig T. Nelson, the dad's, he rescues the kid. And there's one scene.
And that tree's almost got the kid.
Yeah, yeah. There was one scene where I was like, yo, it looks like he's got that kid. And then the next scene, it was only like, hey,
then they're out. Yeah.
They're out. But, what they're on that last branch, and he's got him on his back, and they just fall. And I'm like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like that kid's head hit, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. They take a spill there.
They take a nice spill. And it wasn't their stunt double. It was like, I'm pretty sure. Maybe. I don't know. But it looked like that kid. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, then he got his wish.
The child laws were back then.
The tree was gone. He got his wish. The tree was gone.
He got his wish. The old wise tree. Trying to eat him was gone.
So then that's a scene where, you know, Carol Ann gets taken. And like he said, like, I guess she was communicating with him through the TV and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know why they, you know, just chose her. Maybe the tree was trying to get the kid. Maybe they're trying to get whoever they could get.
Maybe they could, yeah. I don't know, but like, well, I don't know, because like, so they mention it in the movie that like the closet is the heart of the house. And what she says, this house has many hearts, but that's like the real.
She does say that.
That's like the real, like, nexus point of like whatever.
So I do love the scene where so the kid gets taken, and then, you know, then fast forward a little bit, they have these people over, and so you start with the original woman, which I don't know actors' names and stuff, and you can tell they're like, all right, well, let's see what you got, right? And Craig T. Nelson's like, yeah, you'll see.
Yeah, the one, right? the one guy's and like, yeah, well, I got a time-lapse camera. I caught this thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
7 hours, man. He's like, oh, yeah. Okay, he's 7 hours, huh?
7 hours, okay. And they're kind of like playing it off like, we'll decide whether you have an emergency or not. And they're like, okay, come see the room.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they open the door and there's stuff flying around.
Yeah,
and
there's like super, super poltergeist-like activity.
Yeah.
going on.
And it's still getting worse and worse and worse as they go along. So obviously within the movie, then they got, now they got the people. Now they got the people in the house.
Well, that's another thing too I kind of forgot about. So like the way they're explaining the, it was funny, like, watching that movie, I'm like, yo, this must be the same, like, is this the same campus the Ghostbusters are on? No, it's not, because that's New York and California. New York and California,
right.
It seemed like that. It seemed like they're in, like, the same hall as, like, Ray.
Well, did they ever say where they found these people?
No.
They didn't really say, did they?
They didn't.
I think they kind of generally said, like, who would you call? Yes.
And she was like the older lady who's like they go to, not the this house is clear lady. She comes later.
Yeah.
But the older lady, was like a psychologist, I think, right? Didn't she kind of say that?
Yes.
She's a psychologist by trade. And this is something they kind of do as like a hobby.
That's exactly it. To pay the, because she was saying the ghost hunting, I guess, because back then they didn't call it ghost hunting.
Now
they because like all these ghost hunter shows and all this, that's all kind of came from Poltergeist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That little setup, filming the ghosts coming down. I mean, that's, Paranormal Activity, all those movies, everything spawned from Poltergeist.
Yeah.
And she does say that is right, that she was, and she even kind of says it too, like, you know, you can't run around saying you're looking for ghosts. People kind of think you're crazy and they're going to give you the money. They're going to hire you.
Yeah, so you know better than like a second-rate tarot card reader at that point.
Yeah,
to the public.
And at that point, I guess for her and her career, it's like proof that her career wasn't a waste of time. Stuff was real.
Yeah,
yeah. So then, obviously, that night when they had these people over and are still trying to get a hold of the daughter and trying to do that is the stake.
Tell me about the first time you guys ever like watched that scene.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I even, like, we had the steak joke, and, like, I don't even know why we were so into steaks. Maybe that was even part of it. Like, just steaks in general. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. And we'll tell the steak joke at the end. It makes no sense. But if you guys want to hear it at the end, we'll tell it. It makes no sense.
Yes for me.
There you go. We got one yes. We'll take a vote. You know. So many wolfmen.
The whole time he's watching the steak and he's got the chicken in his mouth.
Oh yeah. I forgot about the chicken. I think I morphed it all together in my head to think that maggots were gonna come out of the steak at the end.
Yeah.
Okay. But so here's the scene, and here's it's a great movie, but this is the weird part, right? So he goes in the kitchen. It's the middle of the night. Everyone's in bed, middle of the night, and he's like, finds a piece of, he's hungry, obviously. So the two things he decides to eat are a piece of cold chicken, that's normal, grabs his leg, puts it in his mouth, he's going to eat that. And in the middle of the night, he's going to fry himself a steak by himself. He's going to go in there and get the fakest steak, just a raw steak, not covered, not plastic, just one raw steak.
I'm going to cook this steak on being here for about like 25 minutes. Let me know if you catch a ghost.
Could you imagine? Okay,
because it's funny. He's just sitting there sketching, waiting for some shit to go down.
Well, imagine if the ghost never comes.
Like, hey, I'm going to, can you cover the thing? I'm gonna run in and get something to eat.
And the other guy's like, what are you cooking? A steak?
Yeah.
Like it's freaking 2 o'clock in the morning, man. What are you doing? You're in there frying a steak? Like,
I think I would be
pissed. This isn't our house. Like, we're at these people's house.
That's another thing, too. Like, and that's
what are you doing?
This coincides, like, with another scene in the movie that I forgot about. Like, I think if I was living there, like, yeah, you know, I want my daughter back and this shit's happening, but I was going to grill that steak, like, for dinner tomorrow, like, on the grill. Like, what the fuck are you doing with my food, with my meat, man?
Well, they're a family of five. Is there four more steaks in there?
I don't know.
Did you bring your own steak?
Well, that coincides, like, yo, what's up with the construction worker? Remember that? She comes down, like, yo, he's in the window, he's eating, he's cooking, he's like...
They're sexually harassing their teenage daughter, and they're just like... she gave him the finger, it's cool.
It's cool.
They were really, hey, mama.
Yeah.
They were like, way over
there. Real
like,
bad.
You're like, you're in the guy's backyard. It's his teenage daughter. She's in her, like... not only is he getting something to drink in their window, he's drinking her coffee.
Yeah, he's like in the window just,
yeah, that's yours. I don't even want to make my
own. Oh, man, I was just helping myself. Like, yeah. Literally through
he doesn't even run away when he gets caught. He stays there.
Oh, maybe it's really good coffee. So did you catch the scene where when he says, the mom is like, hey.
Oh, the hotel?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I caught that. Yeah.
You caught that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, back in the day, for you younger fans, we used to rent hotels and have parties in the hotel. It's a big hotel party. I don't know if they still do that.
I don't know. They might not. Well, it depends on where, but.
We destroyed too many hotels.
Yeah. There's a scene where, you know, they're packing up, they're moving everything. Yeah. They think the house is like clean, but they're leaving anyway. And the mom is like, hey, dad said we're not staying. So get brought home after dinner.
Yeah.
Because and he wants us to stay at that Holiday Inn off of Route so and so. She's like, oh yeah, I remember that place. And the mom's like, what?
Yeah,
like that. I'll be back.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm like, okay, you're what, 16 or 17? What hotels are you
going to? Well, I thought it at the end when they actually go there, and I'm like, it's a kind of a crappy hotel.
Yeah.
It doesn't look very nice.
It doesn't.
So what was she doing?
What was she doing?
Maybe she up to? Maybe she brought them ghosts.
I don't know. She's doing it like, because the you know the one scene she gets dropped off, she got the big old hickey.
Yeah, she's yelling. She gets
out. No! When the son's the funniest, just go. Just leave her, Dad.
Yeah, he's like, just go.
Just go. Just go, man. Just go.
I do love that.
I would be that way.
I love that scene, though, because that is where, like, that's where, like, Craig T. Nelson really does what I would do. Like, because in other movies, they're like, oh, look, the hell. He's like, I don't care. All the neighbors are coming out to watch, and he's smashing through their cars to get down the street. He's like, I'm out of here. I've seen enough.
I'm telling you, man. I watched that movie, and I'm like, you know, like I said, it hits different being a dad. And I'm like, yep, there you go. That's the right call. And even before, he was like, no, my son ain't staying here. I'm not leaving you here, but.
Yeah,
kid, I'm sending the rest of the kids out of here until we figure out the hell is going on.
Oh yeah. No, you never stay there once the chairs start moving.
Yeah, yeah.
So after the steak and the face rip off incident, right? So he comes out right then, and that's when, you know, all the ghosts do the whole parade down the steps, mm-hmm. which oh my god, freaking awesome scene.
Yeah,
dude, very awesome scene. And like I said, it's so. Cool. Like I said, I'm not a really horror movie guy, but I do appreciate a good movie. And to take a movie like that and be able to watch it like 4K and everything's cleaned up.
And look, like, so, like, watching this, I went out and I specifically bought this 4K version of it to watch it.
Yeah.
And real quick, the 4K is cool. It looks awesome. The only thing that kind of made me, it didn't have a lot of extras on it.
Okay.
So, but it is cleaned up. It does look fantastic.
It did look really good. I was kind of worried about that since some of the movies, you know, but hey, Steven Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg, well, a lot of people too, and I don't know if you know this or not, because there's a dispute, Connor. Technically, Tobe Hooper is the director.
Okay.
Tobe Hooper directed Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Salem's Lot. But when you watch this movie, it feels so much like a Steven Spielberg movie. A lot of people were like, a lot of people thought, because he helped, so he co-wrote it, Steven Spielberg, and obviously his production team, and he was like a big producer on it. A lot of people think he had more of a hands-on, like he almost like, okay, Tobe Hooper's the director, but Steven Spielberg was kind of telling him what to do.
I wonder if Steven Spielberg was like, do you want the Darth Vader case in the movie or not?
Well, did you notice? So that's another thing, too. We're talking about the Easter eggs. That was way back.
There's so many of them.
But there's a random poster of Alien in his room. Did you catch that?
No.
Go back and watch it. He's got a lot of the Star Wars stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But by the right, and like I said, if you're not really looking. If you don't know that poster by heart, you won't really catch it because it's so like dark and it's in like a corner. He's got the poster for Alien,
okay,
in the corner, and I'm like sitting there laughing. I'm like, that kid's like 7 years old.
Yeah, he's
there's no way he could have watched that movie. So no. Somebody was like, oh man, just put this here. I love that movie.
Did he have Jaws? He didn't have Jaws.
I don't think
there,
he had Jaws.
Okay.
But he definitely, yeah, Star Wars, definitely. I was
well,
like,
he had both cases. He had the C-3PO case and the Darth Vader case.
Well, the one scene she had the...
She's got Luke Skywalker.
She's got Luke Skywalker.
Oh, Luke Skywalker.
And he, well, he's got the thing. He's got the... it's not a Tauntaun, but what is it? Is it the thing from...
No, it's a Tauntaun.
Is it a Tauntaun?
Is that the one where the Incredible Hulk's riding it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought so, yeah.
The Incredible Hulk's riding the Tauntaun. It's when they first come in and open the door.
And we
the
book had flaps that. I had that Incredible Hulk toy.
I had the Tauntaun.
Anyway, Poltergeist.
Like a champ. Yeah, Poltergeist. Like the Poltergeist. Okay, so, yeah. So the guy's got the stake, and he rips his face off, and then all these ghosts come down the steps. And at that point, they realize they need more help.
Yes.
And they bring in... What is her name in the...
I forget her name.
Say her name? The character's name?
I feel like they do.
And, yeah, like I said, this is where, you know, Mel, I guess, got scared. I don't really know. It's just a little old lady.
It's that voice.
And, yeah, that woman, whoever she is, yeah, she just plays that part perfect. I mean, she nails it.
She does nail it.
And you know, not to cut you off and do the Mandela effect thing again, but... I don't know, in my head, I thought that she was more part of that movie. She's not even in that movie for that
long.
She's
really not.
Like, she's not even in there the whole time they're there. She shows up basically only for a night or two.
You know what I think it is? I think if you've never seen that movie or you haven't watched that movie in so long, that line, "This house is clean,"
yeah,
has been, like, quoted so much and used.
Or into the light.
Or into the light, like her... Like, the part she was in have been so quoted and memorable over time. Yeah, like you said, you think she has a bigger part in that movie. It's like, nah, she's really only in that movie like a solid 15 minutes if you really look at
it. I tell you what, man, it's some of the best 15 minutes.
Oh, it is. It's great. I mean, her whole...
Because they just get so climactic at that point. And yeah, that scene where they're trying to get her back and they're yelling. Like, I like that part where, like you say, you watch it as a new parent, and the mom is like, "I hate you for this."
Oh yeah,
go into the light.
Like, I gotta lie. Lie to my kid.
Yeah,
and I gotta trust you.
And it's crazy too, because, like, as a parent, you know, you this little lady, like, "I dare to go into the light," and you just kind of want to be like, "Well, I get we called you because you're the expert, but how do you know?" Well, you ever done this before? You ever seen a big skeleton face come out of a closet?
Yeah. Well, remember that she's like, "I'm going in." "No, I'm going in." "Yeah, yeah, but you've never done this before." "You're right.
Yeah.
You go."
The one part of the movie where I kind of chuckle, like, yeah, she's like, "Yeah, you're right.
I haven't done this. See you. Good luck."
Good luck.
Well, even the one part, and this affects me because, like, I'm a dad. It's like,
yeah,
okay, well, who's the child more scared of? And yeah. She's like, "Well, you know, Stephen does the discipline." Oh, come on.
I know.
I'm the bad guy because I'm the dad. It's like, "Oh, tell her you're going to spank her." I said, "Come on, man. I don't beat my kid like that."
Yeah.
Now you tell me.
Like, yeah,
you can tell.
Awesome,
he's like,
awesome scene, though.
Awesome,
man.
Scene.
Awesome,
it's like,
scene.
You can tell he plays that part like he's so uncomfortable.
Yeah,
doing this. It's like, it's, yeah,
awesome,
like you said, the
scene.
Acting
just
in this movie
awesome
is like, is
yeah,
fucking
1982. Like, yes, awesome.
Well, that's why they don't make movies like this anymore.
Well, yeah,
you don't have that caliber of, like,
you had to make it good so people would see it.
You had exactly.
It wasn't the advertising that made you go see it.
You had to make it good, and the only way you were going to see it was, like, in the theater. So if they didn't come and see it in the theater, or, like, later on, even though this is still kind of early for, like, rentals, if you didn't make it good and people didn't come see it, you didn't make money.
Right,
like, you had to.
Yeah,
and that director was going to get it out of you because if he didn't do a good job, he wasn't going to get shit.
You definitely weren't going to get permission to make Poltergeist 2 or 3.
Well, like I said, Toby...
And they probably made more money with Poltergeist 3, because this is like all the movies. Like, if you look in history, Rocky 1, Rocky 2, and then they come out with Rocky 3, which I love Rocky 3, but
it's not the
a
caliber
piece of trash.
Movie.
Yeah. Piece of trash.
It's not the caliber like, movie of, like...
Two good films.
Two good,
out,
like, films that, like, won Academy Awards.
Well, I'll bet you anything, Rocky 3 made more money than all the Rockies.
Well, I'll even do you better now. I bet you Rocky 4 made the most money.
I know.
Yeah, Rocky 4, where Rocky ends communism, and beats the Soviet Union with the help of Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. But the same as Poltergeist. I bet you look in history and it's like, yeah, Poltergeist 3 made more money than Poltergeist 1 and 2. You're like, oh my God.
Well, ridiculous. That is the thing. Well, you got to remember, like, inflation. It's like Poltergeist was the number one movie that year. Yeah. $32,000. It's like $32,000. That's like a movie that straight to rental does now. But back then, that was like, yo, $32,000. That was like fucking unheard of.
I'm no financial wizard, but I'm thinking the price of a dollar in 1982 was vastly different from 1992.
Yes. Or 2023.
It's not a political show.
Like I said, Poltergeist is one of those.
That's our next podcast, the Get Off My Lawn
Podcast. Get Off My Lawn Podcast.
There's probably a million one of them. There's probably a million one of them.
Man, I'm sure there is. There's probably a million of them on cable.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
They're called News.
Yeah. So, all right. So back to Poltergeist. Back to Poltergeist. So they bring in the old lady. And like I said, the movie at this point is just so great. Like, you know what's going to happen. Like I said, I've seen it a long time ago, and I'm still like, I feel myself like getting into the movie. The other night I was like really into it, but like as a dad, like you really see that the real horror of the movie is your kid gets taken away and there's nothing you can do.
You can't
go look for your kid.
That's the scariest thing. Like, and that going back to like that scene with the mom and how that entity is trying to stop that mom. And I was like this.
Yeah.
And I know
what's gonna happen. I know, right? I was doing the same thing. That's why Mel would be like laughing at me. She's like, he's kind of scared. I'm like, I know what's gonna happen.
Like I said, that's the most like watching this movie through fresh parent eyes. That's the most terrifying thing about this movie. You can hear something going on and you can't do anything about it. That is completely frightening.
Your hands are tied. There's nothing you can do.
And the acting is so good. I was like, I immediately put myself in that position.
Yes.
And it was just like, oh, God, I couldn't imagine.
What would I do if my daughter wasn't there and there's no one you can call, no one will believe you, because they weren't even calling the cops. Because they didn't want like the press to get out and that weird shit. Because like you even said earlier, like there's that one scene. The guy's like, "Hey, you ain't been to work, all right? We're still
well,
sick."
Even though,
and the guy knows he's lying because it's like, why would you be standing next to the guy if you're sick?
Well, even touching on that subject, he even says like,
he's asking where the daughter is.
Yeah, well, you know, my so and so's son goes to the same daycare. Says she hasn't been to school. She got the same illness you got. Yeah, we're all really sick.
But I'm standing right next to you having this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, that he's got lying.
The. Oh, he looks like shit.
Oh, he looks like shit. He looks like he hasn't slept and stuff. And it looks legit. See, real.
That's where they had to keep it from PG 13 or PG because, any like rated R, you're looking at me, what do you want, drugs? what are you on the stuff?
Well, this is 1982 and they didn't have the PG-13 rating yet.
Oh, yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
So it was like, it was either PG or R. And it's like, okay, well, if we make it rated R, no one's going to come and see it. Make it PG, we need more. Okay.
Yeah.
It's your fault you bring parental guidance. It's your fault you bring this kid.
Yeah. And that's why, like I said, like you go through that, like that real horror that they show in the movie of not having your kids and not knowing how to get your kid back, which, oh my God, thank God I never felt that real horror. You know?
I'm still just as scared.
But anyway, and then you even go to that other scene we were talking about where, you know, these paranormal people come like, well, we'll decide if your house is really haunted. And he's like, dude, get my daughter back.
Yeah.
You do whatever if you want to this house. You can have a party with the ghost when I'm gone. Mm-hmm. Get my daughter back. That's why I called you.
We didn't call the cops because what are we going to tell them? They're going to put us in jail.
And basically he's saying, no, I'm not calling the news. I'm not calling the media. I don't care. I want my daughter back.
Yeah.
Like, you make a story of it later. I want my daughter back.
Yeah.
You know, then you get the old lady. And then, just that scene where it's, like, loud and they're young. It's like a good song. Like, they lead you into a crescendo. Mm. And then they give it to you. Money shot. Bam.
Yup.
Get the daughter back. You know what I mean? And they do that whole scene. I love that scene. With the yelling and the screaming. Everyone's, like, yelling, screaming. They get the daughter back with a tennis ball. And it's writing. And, the slime. On everything. Like, you're buying into the movie and you're really believing everything, but you're still looking at it and you're like, What is that, jelly? What are they using? They really got it good, man.
I do that all the time. Like, I'm looking, I'm like, okay, yeah, look at the.
Like, if they do a bunch of fake shit that you don't believe, you're like, eh.
They do, but here's the thing.
No, not this one. I'm saying if a movie does. Like, if you get the blood wrong, you stop believing it.
The monster at the door, when she first goes down, when she finally gets out of her room, she finally escapes, like, the ceiling and is able to get out into the hallway, and she goes to their bedroom. There's that.
Oh, yeah.
There's that monster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, you know that monster's fake.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, man.
Oh.
That looks way better than 90% of the CGI shit I see today. It looks like the same kind of like effects they use in like Ghostbusters. Like, I know those things are fake, but they still look better.
Well, that's a great reference, because if you go back and watch Ghostbusters, if you ain't seen it in a while, the ghost at the beginning
is still
scary.
Yeah.
Like, and they went full on and gave you a scary ass ghost, not just you know what I mean? If they'd have started the movie with the Stay Puft, like, I love the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and all that scene, it's freaking awesome. But
yeah,
you know, you start the movie with like Slimer, Stay Puft, it's like, eh. Like, they started pretty heavy. It was kind of cool.
Pretty heavy. That was your whole plan, Ray? Get her?
That's
a movie that still has like some actually real legit scary moments in it.
Yeah, you watch Ghostbusters as a kid, and you're like, yeah, it's an awesome movie. You watch this as an adult, and you're like, is Ray getting a Hummer from the fucking ghost?
What? That is what is happening.
80s!
What? I mean, no. Dude, all the man, being older with all the jokes in that movie that you finally get as you're older, like, even makes the movie like that much better. It's like, oh, that's the bedroom, but nothing ever happened in there. What a shame.
What a shame. As a kid, you're like, oh, maybe all our video games and toys are in the other room.
Yeah, I don't know.
Where's Slimer at? What's this movie?
Where's the Stay Puft I have the toy of?
Yeah, where's the toy?
Why is my toy this small, but he's big as a building? This is bullshit.
They should have made it bigger. Why is he the same
size?
How's
he going to attack the firehouse if he's only this tall? God damn it.
Why is Slimer as big as everybody else?
Yeah.
He's the biggest guy.
I know, I had this.
We
toys.
Actually had Ghostbusters toys, yeah.
But
back to Poltergeist.
Back to Poltergeist.
So they get Carol Ann back. They go in. Everybody gets cleaned up. And like I said, I go back to this part. Like, right then, it's like she goes, all right then and there. This is totally 80s. We're done. House is clean.
See ya.
And if you really think about it, too, it's like they had a lot of equipment. It took them like a week to get it all in. Would it take him 10 minutes to get it all out?
Oh, yeah.
Of course, the guy who ripped his face off was probably...
He didn't come back.
He didn't come back after
that's
that.
That's right,
huh?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have.
Because remember, she's sitting there and she's like, yo, I'm leaving here. My man's staying with the video equipment.
But you know what's kind of crazy about him, though? And they didn't really even talk about this, but I was kind of noticing, you probably noticed it too. The picture he's drawing is what happens.
Yeah.
Like, they never even talked about that. Hey...
So what happens? So prior to that scene, you're referencing the basically the parade of the souls moving downstairs.
Yes, awesome scene.
Which doesn't look like that until they watch it back.
That was cool too.
He's drawing his interpretation of, like, I guess when Carol Ann's running from the beast, and the mom feels Carol Ann like go through it, which is actually another like. Heartbreaking, powerful scene.
Yeah, I know.
When you go back and watch it, it's like, you don't, because at this point, they don't know if their child's dead or not.
Your kid disappears, right? And like in a real world, like your kid disappears, like you're a missing kid or something. Like, you call the cops, you do whatever you do to try and get your kid back. Your kid gets taken into no man or whatever, and you know, no man's land. Like, you don't know, you don't have anyone to call, your hands tied, like we said. But like, there's this. Had this feeling of like, is she in heaven or hell? Or like
is she even alive?
How do you get
point?
Someone back from heaven?
Yeah.
Like, even if she is there, like,
yeah, child got sucked through a closet space that we can't see or is on a different plane.
Yeah.
And yeah, what do we, are we going to get her back? How do you even explain this? That's another thing why I was like, He's like, we didn't call the cops. I'm like, yeah, if you called the cops and tried to tell them that story,
they'd probably lock you up. Yeah,
they'd lock you up. Okay, we know you killed your daughter. Where's the body at?
Yeah, we're going to lock you up until we find the body.
We're going to lock you up until you tell us.
You're never going to find the body because you're locked up.
Oh, by the way, your daughter and your son, they're going to live in another family.
No, the body's in the house. What about, the house is gone. What do you mean the house is gone? I don't know. We went back. It's an empty lot now.
Imagine they made a version.
That's our version of Poltergeist.
That's your version. We got a warrant to start digging.
Not even a house anymore, buddy.
We got a warrant to start digging up this property because we think there's a body here. Maybe that's why you try to build this pool. Let's dig around and see what we find out. Holy shit. This guy's a serial killer. Who are these people you got buried here?
And not for nothing, but I don't know if you did this too, mentally, but I don't know. For some reason, in my head when I was younger, I made it to be an Indian burial ground. It had nothing to do with Indians.
There's a very small reference where he says, oh, we've done it before. And it's not like some tribal burial ground.
Oh, okay. So he does.
So he kind of drops the hint like they've done it before tribal burial grounds.
Right.
And that's why I think you hear people like, oh, it's an Indian burial ground. He makes the hint that his company, his realty company, has done that to tribal burial grounds.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was kind of wondering, it's somewhere in my head throughout these years that I kind of...
When you see the scene and they watch it back on the camera with the parade of souls coming, and they all got the hats. I'm like, I wonder if they're all because Indians back in the day used to have males wore those wide brim caps.
But as far as the Easter eggs go too, like I said, he's drawing the picture. And it's Steven Spielberg, and I know there's a correlation even with Ghostbusters. Did Steven Spielberg, is he involved with Ghostbusters at all?
I'm sure he's had some sort of, there's probably...
That picture.
I think probably some production,
That picture is the ghost from Ghostbusters. The woman in the beginning. He's the one he's, if you look at it, I could be making this up. We'll have to watch Ghostbusters, cross-reference. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like...
I'd have to go.
From Ghostbusters.
What year was Ghostbusters though? Was that 84? I want to say Ghostbusters was 84.
Okay,
but I could be wrong too. I can't remember. I wish I could remember.
Eddie will look it up and edit it into the
thing. Oh yeah, or that, or he'll post the real date, or somebody in the comments section will be like, "Oh man, you got a horror podcast? You don't even know what year."
This is your fucking podcast. You don't know the year.
Dork.
You don't know the actress's name that was never in anything else? Come on, man.
Yeah, well, like I said, I love episodes about this, talk about movies like this, where it's like, I'm not here to get all technical about the movie. It's cool to get into it.
You got the wrong guest for that shit.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean.
I don't know what year it came out. I don't know what the actor's real name is. I get frustrated sometimes, too, and a lot of people do this, but I get frustrated because I don't really pay attention to this. So I can blame it on my memory, but I don't really pay attention. People are like, oh... You know, that's a, because you even said it, that's a, name a famous, a director. And not even Martin Scorsese, because you just Martin Scorsese.
We'll do Frank Darabont.
No, that's too off the beaten path. Who's the guy that does
J.J. Abrams.
There you go. I'll be like, hey, I Mission Impossible. Or, oh, is it J.J. I don't know what movie J.J. Abrams makes. I can't keep it up. Even when it started, and I'm oh, Steven Spielberg.
Well, Steven Spielberg,
I look at it, I haven't seen it. I didn't know it's been out since 1982. Oh, Steven Spielberg came out with a new movie. It's called Poltergeist.
Some of that stuff I know. When there was a time where I was like, oh, man, I tried to beat it in my head. Now it's like, if I know, I know. You know what I mean?
But some
I don't go out of my way to try and memorize it. Because I'm not trying to prove.
Some people are into the director. Some people are into... actors. Our mom, for example, would just go see a movie because Keanu Reeves is in it.
Yes.
Didn't necessarily know who directed the movie, which is a great example, because you take a movie like The Matrix and you go, I watched four Matrix movies. I love Keanu Reeves. He's in all four.
But only the first one's worth watching.
Why is all of them? Yeah. Why is
And the same people made the movies.
Good.
Made them all.
Yeah, good. Okay. Trash. What the hell is this?
Yeah.
It literally.
Yeah.
But we're not here to critique other movies. So that was just an example.
I'm not here to prove that I'm a fan.
Oh, prove
of
your flex your knowledge.
Exactly.
You're not here to flex your knowledge.
And I honestly am more interested in people's reactions to these movies when they saw them or how, you know, I mean, I'm more interested in to me, that's the quote, the Marvel of horror is like bonding with people about their experience watching the movie is more
Judge
entertaining to
people by
me.
their beliefs, not by your own.
There you
So
go.
find out, because like I said, I look at you guys sometimes and I'm like, where did you even find some of these freaking movies?
I am very interested in like, man, how did they do that at that point in time? Like that fascinates me, you know? And it's still like I was watching those for like, so my sister-in-law, Angela, wanted to watch the original Nosferatu, the
I've never seen it.
1922,
Never seen it.
right?
I mean,
And
never
what's
sat and
it
watched. I mean, you see so
what's
many clips of it, you're just.
well, it's hilarious because you know why she wanted to watch it. I'll tell you why. She's a big fan of the artist Bad Bunny. And I,
Okay.
so
Is
Bad
he a fan
Bunny,
of Nosferatu?
Bad Bunny has got this new song
Okay.
with this video, and the video, he's it's all black and white. Steve Buscemi's in it, and it's made to look like an old Universal film, and he's dressed up like Nosferatu, and it even
Okay.
has stuff that look like. So I'm like, okay, here's another young guy pulling reference from this movie. He obviously has
Yeah.
seen it. He's obviously got to be a fan of the Universal movies because the way the video is done, it's like he captures some of the stuff perfect. But that's why she wanted to see it. She wanted to see how close that, and she grew up watching SpongeBob when
Okay.
Nosferatu would show up on
That's
SpongeBob.
yeah, he did, yeah.
So she
Yeah.
always wanted to see this movie. So I think like that's like that. I find that all very fascinating, and I was more than happy to oblige her and watch it.
She said he was terrible.
Oh, she loved it.
Oh, really?
She
Oh,
loved
okay.
it.
So back to Poltergeist. Let's
Back to
get back to Poltergeist.
Poltergeist.
So I did like this part of the movie too, where, well, I like it and I don't like it because, like, yeah, like you said, as a normal person, you're like, all right, went through all that horror, not knowing where your daughter was, all that shit we talked about. Then you finally get your daughter back, put her back in the room. And
Yep.
then I want to go in here and run some water and not listen. And like, are you effing kidding me? Like, now, as far as the movie goes, I love the fact that you, like I said, you gave me this crescendo, you brought me all the way up here, you gave me all this action, then you cut it off and you're like, wait a minute, we got one more scare for you.
Yeah.
I love that. But I'm like, you put them
Put
back
them
in the
back.
same room, and not for nothing, Craig T. Nelson is going to be home from work in like an hour and you're moving. They're in their beds.
Yeah. Well, that it's like, hey.
I would be at the front door. You're coming back in an hour. I'm going to sit right here at the front door and wait for
Hey,
you.
I'm going to leave you by yourselves while I go and take a bath and dye my
Yeah.
hair. I'll be like, no. You're not leaving my sight
But you know what my
until
problem
where
is?
I'm in a new house.
I think too much like a technician, right? Because after the problem is solved, then you got to go, well, what caused the problem? They never found out what kind. Well, he kind of knew, but the family didn't know. So she goes, this house is clean, right?
Yeah.
And that maybe that's what makes Craig T. Nelson a jerk. Because she goes, because he knows that they're on like a burial ground at this point. Nobody else in the house knows,
Well,
right?
he's not sure. He kind of he's yeah, he's like there's no way I
Yeah,
know it. Like he's kind of
I
like
don't know.
he knows
Oh
it's
yeah, because
probably
at the end he's yelling at the guy. He's
you
like, you didn't
only
even
move the headstone.
like he's like, all right, this house is clean. And he's like, all right, you guys stay here. I'm going to work.
Yeah.
Like, wait, what? Like, you ain't been to work in 3 weeks. You have to go right now. You
Well,
can't go one more day.
he basically is like, yo, I quit. I'm only going to get my stuff. Because he
They
basically,
can at that point they can have it.
he won't take hell no for an answer, so I'm going to give him directions.
Oh,
And so,
okay.
and the boss is even like, that's what, I think that's what makes the guy show up. Because this guy's like, you're not selling houses. You're selling neighborhoods for me and my company.
Yeah.
We can't let you leave. Like, you made us like, I think he said something, he threw some number out there. Like, you made us like $70 million. We can't,
It was something
we're
crazy.
gonna make you a partner. We're gonna give you a new house.
Oh, he
We're
was
gonna
getting the
let you
one on, he was
design.
getting it was crazy too, because I love that scene too. Because he's like, man, can you imagine this is gonna be your view? You're gonna be on top of the hill, you're gonna be there. And he's just like, you have the whole town. And then they pan out and it's another cemetery
Yeah, great shot.
that is behind him. And it's like, oh my God. And he's probably in his head like, dude, they got my daughter, there's shit flying around my
Yeah,
house. Like,
it's like I don't
I don't give a shit
care.
about the view.
Since it's a poltergeist, Remember, they're like, well, poltergeists, they don't last. They start and they end.
That's right.
And that kind of brings like a new thing. Like, okay, we got to hurry up and do this because we don't know when it's just going to stop.
With getting the daughter back.
We're getting the daughter back. Because we don't know when these hauntings are just going to like quit.
Right.
And they're telling us it's a poltergeist, not a haunting.
Right. Well, so maybe they thought getting the daughter back is what ended it.
That too. But yeah. Still.
I still wouldn't go.
Yeah.
No. Especially for one, I wouldn't even get back in the house. But okay.
Hey.
That's fine. Two, I wouldn't go upstairs.
No,
past that, I'm definitely not putting the kids back in the room that has the hole. And not for nothing, but are you even getting a shower in the house?
Because
there's something they never bring this up in movies. Like, this is one of these things that's never talked about in movies and shit. But like, okay, imagine this part. Imagine your house is haunted. Are you getting naked at all ever?
No,
I'm not taking my shoes off. Because I always want to be ready to run out the door. She's going to shower. Like, the scene with the boss. My boss was like, dude, you stink. You're like, well, I haven't taken this shirt off in 3 weeks because I don't want to go to see me naked.
Well, I love that.
Or to attack me when I'm naked.
Well, the scene he's talking with Craig T. Nelson. And it's like, Craig T., hey, you haven't been to work? And blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, look at his clothes. He's got some big stain, like, right here. He looks like... He probably does.
George Costanza. Was that a meatball? Yeah, that's from yesterday.
Looks like you spilled some beer there.
Yeah,
what was that, 2 weeks ago? What's that, some puke? What is that?
Oh, so,
it's ectoplasm.
No, that's from last week.
How come you haven't washed your clothes? Well, the poltergeist has been throwing my washer and dryer around.
Yeah, a washing machine tried to eat the wife. When the ghost ripped the tree out from out front, it did some damage to the pipe. Yeah. I'll tell you that part.
Dryer killed the dog. Yeah. I haven't been able to put anything in there.
So, but they do. They give you one more scare, which and it's awesome. Like you
it
said,
it is awesome. It's a great scene.
Oh, and another scene. And I think we've all like at some point in some way experienced something like this. Not for being scared, but the hallway that keeps stretching.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, oh, man, it's a rough night.
Yep.
You're like, oh, shit, they threw that in here. I think I even had that from, you know, there's a lot of stuff that Nightmare on Elm Street kind of took from Poltergeist, too. And the hallway's one of them.
Hallway's one.
The girl in the underwear flipping up on the thing. Yeah. They got that.
You're right. That's a big skin the cat, man.
Yeah. So they got that from Nightmare on Elm Street, got that from there. And so
that and she says the thing about how clear your minds because it already knows what scares you and it's gonna use that against you.
Oh, Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters and Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you can just see the impact.
Yeah. So she gets to the bedroom. Here's the ghost. I don't even remember how she gets past the ghost. She gets past the ghost. And it's another awesome scene. I like this because at this point the hole is fully open up. It's sucking everything.
Oh yeah, you can tell it looks like just some like
Yeah,
it's what I imagine. It's what I imagine the sand monster in Star Wars to look like on the inside.
Yeah, yeah. And here's another part where like your parent brain kicks in because she opens the door. And you start like thinking rationally, like in movies. I do this all the time.
I do it.
So the door opens, both kids are, you know, holding on, legs flailing in the air. And she's just like, you see this, she's like, okay, hold on. And she's got to brace herself in the doorway. So she went, and I'm like, yeah, she's really getting into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she's really selling it. Like, and I love this part in any movie. So the kid is like, you know, whole body is, you know,
yeah.
And she's like, just let go and give me your hand. I'm like, no.
Hell no.
She's holding to sheets. It's not like she's got a bar. Like, it's just sheets.
Well, the and first it's time
like, oh, don't let go, Carol Ann. Like, you don't even have the doorway
the
braced
first time she
yet.
Got taken, like, the wicker bed
broke.
Apart.
Which, yeah, like, not to jump all the way back, but, yeah, that scene when they first took Carol Ann, like, I forgot how, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, the bed rips.
Yeah, it's a really... Like
it's even cool the way they did it, because like
it's a cool
the
way
the beds were coming up, sucked into the hallway was
it's
cool.
It's a cool way they did it, and again, going back to the acting of this movie, that kid looked terrified.
The boy,
Carol Ann, when she's getting taken.
Oh yeah.
And here's you know what here's so here's another thing right that I caught. that I think like a lot of people miss. And that's another cool thing about like watching these movies when you haven't seen them. Seems like there's always like little things you can catch.
Oh, yeah.
She says the line like, "Yeah, you know, Steven, she doesn't even remember." It's like
Yeah.
she doesn't even remember. But when the closet starts opening back up that second time and she sits up, she says, she's looking and she says, "No more."
Oh.
Like no more. Like maybe she does remember.
Well. Well, like most people, I mean, in real life, they completely
How?
block out traumatic
Yeah, but like
situations.
maybe she did, but like that scene, it's like she looks and she sees the closet, she's like, "No more." It's like, "Oh wow, that's
Yeah.
powerful.
Oh,
That's
yeah.
really sinister."
Well, and even like you said, like even those scenes, like being a dad and being like older, like when they're talking to her and she's like, "Oh my God, someone's coming! Oh my
Yeah,
God!" And
this
you're like,
is.
"Oh my God, you feel freaking
You
horrible."
feel horrible. Yeah, it's your
Yeah.
child obviously running from some sort of like predator that you can't stop or
Yeah.
see.
And
It's
another credit to
terrifying.
the woman, like she freaking sells it.
The power of this movie is the acting. It
Yeah.
really is.
Yeah.
And it holds up truer
I
than,
think so, yeah.
I mean,
I
you don't,
definitely.
there's nobody acting this good in today movies. That's how much they sell
Yeah.
it.
And it's Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah.
Fucking Craig T. Nelson.
Hey, you can be Leonardo DiCaprio,
Yeah.
but if you don't have, there's a difference between having Martin Scorsese telling you what to do and this person telling you what to do.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not going to be the same.
Yeah.
Certain directors know what to get from their actors, and Tobe Hooper, with probably Steven Spielberg, knew what to get from his
Yeah.
people, and it was
Yeah.
fantastic.
We kind of skipped over something pretty solid for all your viewers at home. The Clown.
Well, we saved what
Because the
we could
Clown,
say we saved the most terrifying thing of the movie for last.
possibly for some,
A lot of people
possibly.
would agree.
A
That
lot of people would
clown.
agree, and the scene is great
The
because,
scene
like I
is
said,
fantastic.
it takes you back to me. If you grew up in that time, and you had toys in your bedroom, and you lived the life that this kid is literally living, you know what I mean? You know, it brings you right back. And I remember what was in my bedroom that was on the dresser. It was scary, and you had to kind of cover it up before you went to bed, because if you forgot to cover it up before you went to bed, because like they didn't even like really depict in that story how scary a walk through your dark bedroom would be to
Yeah.
cover that thing. They even show him because he's trying to throw it from his bed and it hits the clown and it falls off. Like even then you're just like, oh, this ain't gonna go good.
No.
This ain't gonna go good. And yeah, and like how many movies have kind of, if Poltergeist kind of took this from somewhere,
I don't think it did. I think I
I
know what you're
know
talking
Chucky,
about.
that Chucky got this
Oh, big
from
time.
Poltergeist, because there's the clown. And then you turn back, and there's that empty chair. And
Yep.
it's like, just like a child, because like right then, you're watching this movie, and you're back to being a 7-year-old child, like the floor is lava kind of thing,
Yeah.
and you see that empty chair, and you know he's under your bed,
Yeah. And that's
and
the
you
thing.
know, and if you know you look on this side,
Yep. And
yeah,
that scene. So, one
once you go to the
thing,
other side, you're in trouble.
nothing scares me more than like something being under your bed. I think the movie that did it for me was Pet Sematary.
Oh God. Oh
Yeah.
man, the
I think that's
freaking
the movie I saw when I was a kid. Like, if you go upstairs right now,
yeah.
there is just anything I can shove that I'm not going to need is underneath that bed. So I know if someone's going to hide under there, they got to move all that shit and I'm
It's
going to
the
see
it,
it.
it and it's like we talked about since the beginning, it's the movies that have like these effects on you. Jaws. Nobody wanted to go in the ocean for years. Poltergeist. I didn't want to eat steak for a month. Right. And then
Pet
Pet
Sematary.
Sematary. I literally jumped out of my bed
Yeah,
just
so
in
nothing
case
can
there
cut
was
my
a little
Achilles tendon when
hand.
I'm
Yeah.
stepping
Just
down.
in case there was a little hand coming out.
Well,
Gonna
like
jump.
that scene where he looks under the bed and when he's
Yeah.
up, the clown's behind him.
Yeah.
How many horror movies today even
Yeah.
still use that same
Oh, yeah.
shtick?
All of them.
All of them.
Everyone.
And I
Every
really
single
think that's
one.
the first like movie you saw that.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
saw that. You saw yeah. that camera angle, or you saw that oh, camera yeah. shot.
Where did the actual fear of clowns start? Did it start in like the 1900s?
I think there was always like a fear of clowns.
When did Stephen King write?
He wrote the book in the 80s, I think, and I think the first like miniseries with Tim Curry
he wrote that in 1983 after he saw Poltergeist.
Maybe, who knows, man? Who knows?
Ghosts are scary as shit. I got one for you.
Yeah. Well, like I said, that clown—that's the thing too. Like that clown, before it's even off the chair moving around, just looks scary.
Oh yeah,
as fuck.
Scariest
like, who
clown.
Who the hell was?
Who
like, oh,
wants
my son would love
in
that
in your room anyway? And not for nothing, but like, okay, so they think Carol Ann gets sucked in the closet, right? Pull the thing down. The scary ass clown. Okay. Get Carol Ann back. We're moving out. Set the clown back up in the chair.
Yeah, don't put him in a moving truck.
I like.
Don't just leave him in the closet.
Don't even pack him.
Don't even pack
him. Set him up staring at his side. Like they put the chair staring right at you while you're sleeping.
That's another thing, too. It's like I never understood that. It's like, yo, kid, instead of covering him up every night during the day, why don't you just move him?
Well, like the other night when I'm watching it, spoiler alert, when he finally gets the clown.
Oh, he's like, I hate you.
I'm like, you should have did that the first night.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had this really shitty circus like set up down the street. And I was like, all right, well, they gave the tickets out for free. Right. So the kids were small. So, you're always looking for something to do for the day. But the kids are like, oh, let's take them to this stupid ass circus. Right. And I was already like, as long as everyone like stays away from me, I'm all right. And I just remember they had these clowns, and these ain't even the clowns that were in the show. These were like half clowns that were directing traffic in the parking lot, which
oh
was
God.
A dirt
that,
field.
That does sound scary. Right. That sounds like some Rob Zombie movie scary
yeah.
clown.
Yeah, yeah. Picture one of the guys from Devil's Rejects, right? Half
That's
makeup.
Exactly what I pictured.
Half makeup, all skinny. Like, you're a clown? Right?
Hey, I want you to park over here. That's really far away from where I'm going. It's fine. You'll be fine. Park over here.
Yeah. So, and they all had Russian accents, right? I'm like,
what?
Yeah, exactly. So this, and I just remember
hey,
this,
comrade.
Yeah, and I just remember this one clown. He just kind of reached over and like touched my shoulder and was like, "The lion's over here." And I'm just like, I turned to Melly Mel and I said, "If another one of these effing clowns touches me, it's gonna happen, right?" Yeah. So we took the kids.
I'm gonna start looking for John McClane.
Oh,
sounds
yeah.
like some terrorist shit.
It was weird too because like. They had like two different price seating and we got like free tickets, right? You go in and there's like the free section is like super cramped and hot. And like the section you paid for is like $3 a seat. It was all empty and the seats were cleaner. And I'm like, what is going on here?
What right? year was this?
So Hannah was 5, I think. Okay, so this right. was like, you know, which she's 18 now. So, you know, do that math. This was the funniest part of the circus. So like, all the clowns were disheveled looking. I remember at one point they brought the tigers out. You know, you're like supposed to be like feared for the guy, like the tiger might eat the guy. That's the whole lore. These tigers looked all malnourished and beat down. They're like walking out like, I want to do this. They look old. You're like, man,
that makes me
I don't sad. Even think that tiger could attack this guy. And I still kind of wanted him to. Maybe they would get their freedom or something.
Yeah.
And the circus was weird because they're like every 5 minutes they would shut it down, try and sell you like a light stick or something. Yeah, it was like a whole sales thing. That's why they give you the tickets for free. Long story short, this is one of the best parts about being a dad, right? They go, so we're there, and I think we even had Nolly. She might have been like 3 if Hannah was 5. And they go, intermission. And I'm like, intermission? I want to get the hell out of here. What do you mean intermission? They're like, we're going to have a 20-minute intermission. You can go outside. Because they wanted you to pay for donkey rides and pay for snacks. And I'm like, intermission, this sucks. And I remember Hannah looked up and goes, aw, is it over?
Yes. Me
and Melly Mel looked at each other. Yeah,
that's
over.
That's what intermission means.
Oh. We're going to get ice cream. Ice cream! Yes! That's what intermission means. When they're just at the hotel.
Oh, and they look so tired and beat
so,
up.
It looks like when I get home from Great Adventure.
Yeah. Yes.
And no one's talking.
Yeah. It looks you could easily be like, what happened to you guys? Just spent a weekend at the beach. Just, yeah.
Don't ask.
We had kids at the beach.
I'm sure that's what every family looks like.
Yeah.
In Disney World.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the Disney World family.
That's a great like analogy.
And then I don't even know how many times this has been copied and referenced and shown in other things. The TV gets thrown out into the hallway. Iconic.
Well, I love it too. Like, so he like, when they all walk in, man, he slams the door.
Yes.
I don't know if you noticed that. He's just like he's so fed up. He's so tired. He's probably like, He's probably pissed off at himself that he left his family there for that job, thinking everything was taken care of.
Yeah. Well, he's probably thinking like me, like,
I can't wait to try and explain this one.
Yeah. If anyone's ever dealt with insurance companies.
Yeah, exactly. I can't wait to call my insurance guy and be like, the house ate itself. And I have nothing to sell.
That's where like that would be.
I have no equity now.
They'd be like, Nard, the house is haunted. I'm like, do you know what we spent on this house? Like, we're just gonna have to deal with the ghosts.
Yeah.
Like, where do you want to go now? I put all the money into the house.
Exactly. It's like, Dad, what are we gonna do? Where are we gonna go? How are we gonna sell the house? Do you know what equity is?
Yeah.
We've only lived here 2 years.
You look that ghost in the eye, and you're gonna leave you alone.
Yeah, we'll get rid of the clown, but you're gonna sleep here. Yeah. I'll nail the closet shut. We don't have any money.
We got no money. We gotta stay in the haunted house.
He shuts the door, like you said. They're looking tired and haggard. It's the realization, the reality is setting in. And then, he even does like a look. He almost kind of breaks the fourth wall a little bit. He looks
at the camera.
He's just like,
yeah.
Slams the door.
Yep.
Then the TV, he does the same. He just kind of looks at the camera again, like. And then the nice, heartfelt music starts playing.
Oh, yeah. And then that's they pan
a,
out.
And then you pan out. And that's another thing, too, with like movies. Like, that. Yeah. I think that was a big popular thing with Spielberg in the 80s. Like, they're always the panning out.
Yeah, but this was the first time they gave you a horrible experience.
Yeah.
And then panned out all gently. Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the music.
E.T., I get it. Poltergeist, I'm like, am I seeing like.
The music plays such a role in this movie.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And like, to have like
you said, right from the beginning.
Right from the get-go.
It starts in.
This false sense of this is okay.
Nice. This is a nice little warm embrace.
I think Spielberg was like, oh, you loved E.T. Let me think you're getting an E.T.-esque movie and really
get comfortable.
Really pull the fucking rug out from your feet.
Oh, really pull it out from you. But like, going back though, right from the beginning, like I said in the beginning, like I had a little animosity going into watching it. I was like nervous.
Well, that's why I'm glad.
Glad I watched it. Great movie. Highly recommend it. If you guys are sitting watching this episode and you're like into what we're talking about, I highly recommend going back and watching this one. This is a great
watch. I know at least three people who are going to watch this episode and be like, oh man, dude, I want to watch Poltergeist.
And if the if the face ripping off scene is the one that you're really scared about, like that one is not as
it's not that bad.
That one's not bad at all. It's really kind of fake. They do a lot of the movie right, but that right there, that one is kind of like in my head. I just remember it being like,
well, because like I said, like you were a kid, you probably never seen anything close to being like, because for the time that, I mean, that was super graphic.
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing too. It's like you like when they did it. It's like it doesn't even look like the guy.
No,
it's a whole different. Yeah. It look not like him. It's a different guy.
Yeah, even like the Terminator scene looks like.
Yeah, it doesn't even really look like him. Yeah. No, and it's like it's just like that.
It's just like that scene almost.
Yeah, and that's where they kind of didn't get it, but yeah, everything else solid.
Oh, like I said, it's still like a great movie worth watching. And like you said, it's still got some of the best, like it's still an iconic movie.
Maybe I'll put it in again in another 30 years.
Well, you know what? No, you know what it is now. We got to get Eric to watch it.
He's probably one of the guys that's going to watch this. I got to watch it.
That would be a cool thing to be there. Like, you know, like the first reaction videos are very popular on YouTube right now. The reaction video of him watching it after he's never seen it for like 40 years.
Well, you know what's funny too is like, and he even said today, it's like I said, I was like 5-6 years old when we were shown this movie. I didn't go out and watch this movie. This was shown to me.
And with that being said, in 1982, there was full fledged adults.
Yeah.
Terrified of this movie. And they should have been.
But they wouldn't let us watch Terminator. But this was okay. But it was the rating. It was PG. Terminator's rated R.
Yep.
This
is rated PG. That's exactly what it is, too.
This movie is way worse than Terminator. Although, like I said, if you guys want to watch that one, too, go back, put it on mute, pretend that you've never heard of the Terminator before.
And try and watch
it. And watch the movie on mute. Although watching a movie on mute is pretty painful.
I'm glad you could overcome your fear of Poltergeist and watch it again.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm glad I did. It was very, it was a good watch.
You know what? I got to say, this is probably the longest episode I've actually stayed on topic with the movie.
Oh, good. Because there was so many times I was like.
We can easily veer off.
Well, yeah, we can easily veer off. Is The Frighteners a horror movie? Discuss. Discuss amongst yourselves.
We want to hear.
Maybe this could be another topic. Now, people do get murdered in this.
Oh, they do. I would classify it as a horror movie, but I want to hear your thoughts on that. Leave that in the comment section. Frighteners, Peter Jackson, 1996, I think.
Now, you know I'm bad at the years. I always get the years.
Well, Michael J. Fox, The Frighteners.
Yeah.
Peter Jackson directed. Is it a horror movie?
I think at some point Jaws was you know, were they like, is it horror? Is it, you know?
I get that a lot. We've discussed on this show a lot, like, is Silence of the Lambs a horror movie?
Psychological thrillers tend to dance very close to the, like I said,
it's like, I guess it's more like in the, like, I would call it a horror movie, but it's not one of those movies where it's like, oh man, Halloween time, put in Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, no.
No, it's just something like a random horror movie I'm going to watch. Great movie.
You want to throw in a House of a Thousand Corpses.
Right? Yeah. Halloween time. Well, like I said, that's all the time we have. I want to thank my brother, Bernard the Bad Man, coming on the show, talking Poltergeist. Find us at the Marvel of Horror Podcast on YouTube. Find us on Instagram. Like, subscribe, leave your comments below. And hey, reach out to us on Instagram if you perhaps want to be a guest on the show. Is there a movie you'd like to see discussed? Leave all that in the comments. Give us your feedback. We want to hear from you. And we'll see you next time. Bruce Marvel signing off for the Marvel of Horror. Take care, my friends. Good.